Good morning, and welcome to Osage Baptist Church via the power of technology. I've got a few announcements I'd like to make first before I turn it over to Brother Lanny. We're going to continue to meet like this until further notice. None of us know exactly how this is going to pan out, but we have the power of technology, and we have the ability to do this, and I'm thankful for that we can meet together in this way. But we're going to continue to meet this way until further notice. If you have access to the internet, you can go to our website. It's osagebaptistchurch.org, and we will have this sermon and these videos on our website. It'll be at 10 a.m. Tomorrow morning or Sunday morning. Hopefully, there'll be a link there on our Facebook page to help you connect as well. We also have CDs and DVDs available to share with anyone who doesn't have internet access. We know that that's a real issue as well. I want to thank all of our church members who continue to give of their time, give of their resources, their money to contribute to the cause that we have here for the cause of Christ. This church is pretty amazing. What I've experienced in the last couple of weeks here, I have people who are contacting me regularly saying, how can I help? What can I do? I'm overwhelmed by that. I'm overwhelmed with the folks, you know, that we think that we're supposed to be ministering to, and I end up being ministered to myself through these people. So I want to thank you for your continued support and contributions. Right now, we don't have a way to give and contribute online. We will hopefully soon, but as of right now, you can mail your offering to the church, or you can drop it off here at the office during office hours. A couple of special prayer requests I want to mention. Gail Collins recently had a surgery. I want to lift her up in prayer. Margie Bates just came through a knee surgery. From what I understand, she's doing well. Keep her in your prayers. Somebody who's been on my heart heavily here in this time as Bill Heil and Lee Heil. Keep them lifted up in your prayers. They're in a situation where Lee is not able to be with Bill, and I can't think of anything worse than to be in a nursing home and my family not be able to come and visit. So I'm sure this is a trying time for them. Please lift them up in your prayers. I've been encouraged by Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. During all this social distancing and separation, this set of verses basically tells us that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. It says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels, including fallen ones, or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let us pray. Father, I come to you this morning. We come to you as a church, as a whole body of believers in desperation. We come to you not even really knowing how to pray. I realize now I don't even know how to pray in times like these. But you say when we don't know how to pray that you'll pray for us. God, I just want to lift up our country, our president, all the families that are being affected by this. God, I just want to lift our church, our local body of believers. I want to lift each one of them up to you. That we would have discernment and wisdom as a church, that this would cause the hearts of the people of our nation to consider Jesus, to consider you, to look to you. We love you, Father. We praise you. We trust you in life. We trust you also in death. In all things, we trust you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Well, good morning, everyone. 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear." We're going to sing about that right now. It's called "Stand in Your Love." Tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide. I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. Oh, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save.
Good morning, Osage. Teenagers, glad I could be with you this morning. And just want to say good morning. It's a beautiful day that the Lord's given us today. And I want to go over a few things. Young Christians Weekend has been canceled. We're still waiting on word on them. They're supposed to call me in the next week or so to figure out what we're going to do, if we're going to try to go another day or what we'll do on that. Don't forget Siloam Springs. Get registered for that. It's still open. Still planning on going for that. You know, I just hope everything is good with your family and at home, and hope things are going great. I had no idea this morning what Brother Mike was going to sing, but man, it went right along with what I was going to talk to you about this morning. Our fear doesn't have a chance when we stand in His love. Don't worry. I know we're going through a time right now. There's a lot of uncertainty and stuff's going on. But I want to read a little bit in Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. It said, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving as she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." You see, Martha got upset when sister wasn't helping her get stuff ready. You know, she was trying to get a meal ready and get stuff ready to serve the Lord, and Mary was just, she was focused on Jesus and listened to every word he said. And Martha got upset. Now, teens, I'm not saying for you not to help your parents, okay? That's not what I'm saying during this time. But Mary was focused on Jesus. And, you know, Jesus said, you know, Mary's getting what she needs. Mary's getting the good stuff. And, you know, we need to remember that we get worried and get scared when we lose control of the situation. Guys, parents, we were never created to be in control. Jesus is in control. God is in control. So just remember that. We need to follow Him and just rely on Him every day. You know, 365 times it says in the Bible, "Do not fear." And that's one verse a day you can read. And just remember, God's got this. God's in control. And y'all stay in prayer. Stay in God's Word. And we'll stay in contact with you, and God bless you all.
All right, thank you, Roger. I'm going to reach back and do an old hymn called "Jesus, Hold My Hand."
One, two, three.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. Well, this would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need Thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need Thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by Thy power. Divine, that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be wholly Thine and sing redemption song someday. I will be a soldier, brave and true, and ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand.
All right, in preparation for Pastor Laney's message this morning, we're going to do a song called Simply Named Jesus, who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. Folks, he is in the fire at all times with us. There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born of our salvation, Jesus, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us. For Jesus, Jesus, who walks on the water, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside.
No one
like Jesus. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Matthew 14, and let's begin with verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. Now, pay close attention to these next couple of verses. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit." They cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, strong, blowing hard, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Now look at verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now Matthew 14 is filled with lots of information. Jesus hears of the death of John the Baptist in this chapter. Herod discovers that you can change the message, that you can't change the message by killing the messenger. Sin is sin no matter what color you paint it. So Herod discovers that, and Jesus hears the story of his cousin John the Baptist and his friend, I think, being beheaded, and so he moves away to another part of the country. And in this 14th chapter, in verses 14 through verse 21, Jesus feeds the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So I want us to start in verse 23 with this message. In verse 23, Jesus goes into the mountain to pray. Now the Bible doesn't record what Jesus prayed, though there are several of Jesus' prayers are recorded in Scripture, but this one doesn't tell us what he said when he prayed. One of the things that I want us to see from this passage, from this verse, is if Jesus had the need to be alone with the Father, you and I have the need to get alone with the Father, to get alone with God and do business with the Lord. That verse says that he was in the mountain and that he was alone. Secondly, I want us to see the disciples in the storm. We're in a storm right now in America, in our families, in our situations. Many of you in your workplace, some have been laid off of work, some factories have closed down, some jobs have closed down. And some of you are going through a storm right now. Many of us are going through a storm with having to stay at home. One of the things that I want us to see about the storm that the disciples were in is that they're in a storm that they did not create. I've been in a few storms that were of my own causing. Annie Griffith said, some way I'm always able to get the seat of my pants caught on my own pitchfork. And I've been in a few of those storms that I caused myself. It was a storm, no doubt. You may be in one now that you've caused, or you may be in one that you had nothing to do with. The disciples had nothing to do with this storm. Jonah was in a storm. You remember that story? Jonah was in a storm that he caused himself. Paul was in a storm that he had nothing to do with. There are several of those recorded in Scripture. This verse 24 tells us that they were tossed with the waves. In other words, the situation was out of control. Have you been there? Maybe you're there now. The situation's out of control. You and I have no control over the situation. Number four, the wind was contrary. They are rowing, but they're not getting anywhere. They're too far to turn back in the midst of the sea, the Bible says. So I want us to look at this passage from this perspective. I want us to look at a quick lesson on water walking. Number one, don't be afraid of the help. Appreciate Brother Mike's song that Jesus is there in the fire. He's there in the storm. He's there no matter where we're at, He's there. And one thing that you and I need to pull into perspective is that we don't need to be afraid of the help. Jesus' help. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So when Jesus appears to the disciples, He says to them, don't be afraid. There's many times in Scripture when Jesus shows up and He says, don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. I've got this. One of the things that I want us to see in this passage is that Jesus knew Peter would sink before he got out of the boat, yet He said, come anyway. You get where I'm headed here? Whatever is going on in your life, whatever is going on in my life, what has happened in the past, and I look back at some of those things in my life that I thought were tragedies, and Jesus knew that. Jesus knew what I was going to do, how I was going to respond, and yet He said, come anyway. Come anyway. Because He has something fantastic that He's going to teach us through this. Another thing I want us to see in this passage is that you have to get out of the boat to get where Jesus is in the water. And by the way, the storm's still going on when Peter steps out of the boat. Can you imagine what Peter felt when he stepped out of the boat and he felt the water take his weight? Can you imagine that? Can you? I mean, I've been in water quite a bit, but I never walked on water. But can you imagine stepping out of the boat onto the water and feeling that the water takes your weight? You just step out onto the water? I think that this is a place where the Lord wants us to be, that we trust Him, that we put our trust in Him, even in the midst of this storm, that we are putting our trust in Him, not not in our bank account, that we're not putting our trust in, that the factories are going to be able to go back to work, and I hope that they are. That the restaurants are going to be able to open back up, and I hope that they are. And that all of our lives in a few weeks, hopefully, will be back in order. Someone said normal. I heard that that was a setting on the dryer, normal. It's not a normal. And I hope those things happen, and I'm sure you do too. But Jesus is where we need to have our eyes and our focus at this time. You don't need to listen to advice from the boat from people who have never walked on water. And there's plenty of folks out there that are willing to give advice about how to handle these tremendous times that we're in right now. And really, we don't need advice from somebody that's never walked on the water, that somebody that hasn't been in that place before. And so Peter didn't need to take advice from those that were in the boat. They might be saying, Peter, you're stepping too far to the right, or you're doing this wrong, or you're taking too short of steps. Maybe you need to walk faster, or do this, or do that. But if Peter had just focused on Jesus and kept his eyes on the Lord instead of on the wind, he would have been victorious. Keep your eyes on Jesus and not on the storm. Now, there's a part of this that I want to make sure that I get across. We think of Peter, and oftentimes I do, he failed. I think of Peter, he failed when he stepped out on the water and he looked at the wind and the waves and he began to sink and he failed. But did he fail? I mean, think about it. He was the only one that stepped out of the boat. And Jesus knew what was going to happen in Peter's life, what Peter was going to do when he stepped out of the boat. He knew that Peter was going to go down, and he was going to need to lift him up. Even when you fail, you win in this situation. Look at verse 30 and verse 31. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Here's the victory right here. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Verse 31, Jesus said, now you got out here on your own, get back on your own. No, that's not what he said, is it? Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Immediately, and he said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? If you'd have just trusted me. Immediately, Jesus stretches forth his hand, and he caught him, and he lifted him up. Now, this is the good part, that they walked together. You get that? They walked together back to the boat. In this storm that you and I, all of America, all of the world is in, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus and not on the storm. That's not always easy. I'd say it's very difficult when we're seeing the waves and we're seeing the wind and all these things are happening all about us. It's very difficult. Most important decision that you will ever make in your life is what you do with Jesus. The Bible tells us that every single one of us are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if my hand represented the glory of God, and the Bible says that every single person, me included of course, every single person has sinned and come short of the glory of God, in order for me to be saved, in order for me to go to heaven, I have to be up here, but I'm down here because I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so what is it that's going to bring me from this point here to this point here? It's the cross of Jesus Christ. That Jesus came because God loved you so much and God loved me so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross to pay my sin debt. And Jesus came and has died on the cross to pay your sin debt. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if today you would call on the name of the Lord, you would be saved. If you would pray this prayer, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and lost. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and be my Savior. I trust you. I accept you right now as my Savior. If you would pray that prayer and mean it in your heart, Jesus would come into your heart and change your life. And I want to urge you to do that today. Don't put it off. Don't wait until some other time, a more convenient time. Do it today. Ask Jesus into your heart as Savior. And then you find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and go to work for the Lord. Let me pray for us. And then Brother Mike's going to come and lead us in another song. Our Father, I praise you and I thank you for the day that you've given us the opportunity for us as a church to be able to share the gospel with our own people and with others that will watch this video. And Lord, for that one that does not yet know you as personal Savior, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have a freedom to convict their heart and that they would just seriously ask you to save their soul. Lord, I pray for those that are sick. I pray for those that are dealing with this virus in a personal way and for their families. I pray, God, that you might bring comfort to them. Lord, we know that you're the God of all comfort. You're the God of all peace. So we pray that in the lives of these people who are suffering right now. We pray that your hand would be upon them. We pray that you might bless Osage Baptist Church. Keep us close to one another and close to you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Well, I was as I was getting ready for the services for this morning a few nights ago, this song kept coming into my mind. And as great as this song is, the story behind this song is even greater, I believe. The gentleman that wrote this, some of y'all may know this story, it was named Horatio Spafford, and the song was written in 1876. And when I read his background, it started reminding me of Job, because, you know, Job lost his family, lost all of his worldly possessions, but he still would give glory and honor to God. This hymn was written in 1871, and the gentleman was a lawyer in Chicago, and a few things happened in his life. Number one, his four-year-old son passed away, and then some of you all know about the Great Chicago Fire. He was a lawyer and had several real estate properties, and he lost everything. And so as it was, a few years later, his family was going to take a trip to Europe. And some things happened that made him stay and have to come out later. Well, his wife and four daughters got on a ship to Europe, and it sank. And all four of his daughters passed away. His wife still was alive, but he lost all of his four daughters. So that story just reminded me of so much of Job. But so as we're singing this, and I'm going to play it through a couple of times, and then I'm going to lead all of us in the chorus. So at 10 o'clock tomorrow, I want to hear everybody singing "It Is Well With My Soul." Thank you. say the chorus?
It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
God bless everyone and stay healthy and safe. We love every one of you. Good day.